Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me here today on this podcast. This week's episode is going to focus on overcoming negative thinking, overcoming negative self-talk, and ways to implement positivity into your life. I personally think this is an extremely important topic to tackle. It's very challenging, just in general, living on this planet, because I think we are constantly accosted by negative images. We grow up in negative situations, and most of us, by the time we're, 20, we are programmed with a lot of negative thinking. And trying to change that, in the middle of your life is extremely challenging, and it's not something that you can do overnight. For people who are particularly listening to this and are on the quote-unquote spiritual path, I feel like this is a brick wall that we kind of hit in our lives because, again, most of us, in my perspective, have probably had incredibly challenging childhoods where, one or more parents or maybe your siblings, family members, bitter family members have, spoken very negatively around you their entire lives, and they've programmed your mind to respond in a very negative way and to view everything that way. And again, when you're on this path, the process of enlightenment is the undoing, essentially. It's the unlearning of the ways of this world to remember who you really are. And part of that process requires understanding how you think and knowing why you think a very specific way. So first, let's just talk about signs that you are a negative thinker. If you notice you have a tendency to consistently say, oh, this is too good to be true, for example, the language that you use, if it automatically is negative, a negative thought to whatever is happening to your life, to something new, a recurring situation, chances are you are probably a very negative thinker, or at least you're prone to negativity. If you consistently dwell on the past, I think a lot of us are guilty of doing that from time to time, or some people do it more than others. That is a very telltale sign that you have a tendency to think very negatively. If you're hypercritical of other people, or have a tendency to tear people down, if you're extremely judgmental of other people, then again, you're focusing on negative aspects. If you have a very challenging time accepting compliments, let's say, for example, somebody tells you, you look gorgeous today, I love that dress, or your suit is nice, or your hair looks great, etc. And you kind of turn it down, or I guess have a negative reply to it, like dumb it down in a way, or turn the compliment down, then again, your mind has been wired in a way that it focuses strictly or predominantly on the negative aspects of the self. Modesty, I would say, can be internalized into negativity about even our own accomplishments. If you have a tendency to focus on your problems as opposed to focusing on the solutions, then again, you probably are a negative thinker. And lastly, I would say, if you're not really excited about the future, if you constantly are worrying about what's to come or what could potentially be, then again, you have a tendency to go to the darker aspects of yourself and the darker aspects of life. If you are afraid to explore new skills or new opportunities, then, and if you've already essentially decided that you're just not going to be successful, then there's an actual problem there in terms of the fact that you view life through a very, very negative lens. And, my goal is not to point fingers or be critical of the way you think, because I think we all carry within ourselves, based upon episodes in our life based upon, again, the way you've been programmed, and I'll talk about this when I talk about negative self-talk, then it's almost just on autopilot. It's almost, you can't even control, in a sense, what you're thinking, because it is like a knee-jerk reaction to situations, just in general in life. It becomes a natural response, I'll put it that way. And a lot of us have that tendency, even though, you know, some people say that they are incredibly spiritual, however, but yet they may view somebody in the spiritual community in a very hypercritical light and look at them as their competition as opposed to collaboration. So again, it's like they're afraid of something. They're afraid of being, you know, being able to achieve or maintain their own success in a way, right? So there's that consciousness of failure that might be, you know, very dominant for them. All right. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about how to overcome negative thinking. And again, one thing that I really want to say up front is that this is not something you can do overnight. You're not going to just wake up one day and just say, okay, I'm going to be a positive thinker from here on out. I will say I have tried that, as naively as that sounds. You have been programmed, and I have to keep using that word. I feel like that has been the key word that has helped me really understand why I think the way I think. It's almost like you've been trained to think a certain way. And just if you reflect on this, if you're, I don't know, 25 years old, 35, 45, imagine the amount of time, the momentum that has built up over all this time to train you to think a particular way. It is going to take a lot of strength, a lot of practice, and perseverance to kind of retrain your mind. Okay, so let's kind of talk about some ways that you can begin to overcome negative thoughts. The first thing I would say is having a very solid spiritual practice, whatever it is, where it's encouraging, not delusional. I want to say that very clearly. I kind of think sometime that some practices focus on, what's the word I wanted to use? Some practices focus on, you know, having you be quote unquote successful and achieving, but not really getting to the root of some of your actual problems. So it's more about like healing the exterior self as opposed to healing the interior self. So make sure that whatever spiritual practice that you are working with helps you to get real about yourself, to identify the root cause of why this is your problem. Why, you know, this is something that you have a constant issue with negative thinking, right? So the spiritual practice should, yes, it should be uplifting, but also it should force you to do a internal deep dive within yourself. So you can be honest and look at yourself and do some inner healing work to, again, understand what has brought you to this point. Why do you consistently view this type of situation in your life with a lot of negativity, with a lot of fear, which is really what it is? Okay. Number two, I would say everyone needs to remember that we are going to have setbacks and failure in life. I used to teach at a university, and I had students who always, you know, would beg to have A's, even though they didn't, you know, do all the work, to be perfectly honest. And I would, you know, I would fail them and say, you know, this will do you good. Sounds terrible in retrospect, but they didn't, you know, do the work. And it had me thinking even then that, oh, failure is not necessarily always so bad. We all experience that, no matter what economic background you come from. It is a part of life because it is a part of the learning process. And unfortunately, when you go through failure, or when you don't succeed at something, even that you have put your all into, or when you have a major setback, you may have these really intense negative emotions, which cause you to see things in a negative manner. And this happens, I think, to everyone. For some people, that negative emotion can be so intense that it really blinds them to any solution. And that's where you really need a lot of assistance to kind of bring you out of that situation. However, when you have a failure, it's at that moment where you're not supposed to necessarily fester in the failure. It's okay to get down. Again, that's the nature of life. However, if you can take some time out for yourself and ask yourself questions about, you know, where things could have possibly went wrong, what should I be learning from this, etc., it's actually very helpful because it's at that moment where, you're trying to retrain your mind to look at the experience, at the failure differently. So another way I would say that would help you overcome some of your negative thinking is to not hesitate to question your own negative thoughts. Sometimes you have to ask yourself if you can take some of those negative thoughts very seriously, and you will find yourself sometimes really saying no. It's important to analyze a situation in your life. It's not important to dwell on it for eternity and blame all the rest of your failures on that one situation. But analysis is super helpful. I would say, for example, if you're having like a bad day and you become, you know, very clouded just because maybe you've made some minor mistakes, sometimes people can take those minor mistakes and make a mountain out of a molehill. And it's unfortunate when that happens. And I think, again, we're all kind of guilty of doing that, because even if the mistake appears minor to someone else, it may be pretty intense for you because maybe you're triggered by a situation, or this is the third time this has happened, or what have you. And we have a tendency, because of those minor mistakes, to really focus just on the mistake rather than looking at what the mistake can really teach you. And when we're in those moments, again, where you become very clouded because of the intensity of the emotion that you're feeling from the mistake, you don't necessarily take time out to really question the mistake, or question your thoughts behind the mistake. Like, what's the driving force behind the intensity of the negativity that you're experiencing? Is this, again, a mistake that you made back when you were younger, and here you're making it again and you feel it more intensely this time because you're older, etc.? So taking time out to even question your thoughts is super important. Ask yourself, can you take this seriously? Ask yourself, number one, you know, is this mistake really reflective of who I am at my core? You have to remember that we all make mistakes in life, and that is just, again, the natural part of life. Another way I would say to overcome negativity is really to try, make an effort to replace negativity with positivity. And when I say this, I mean specifically start to identify the negative sources that you have in your life. Most of us have a lot of negative people around us, and maybe we've really never questioned it because it has become our norm, which is the problem, by the way, because it speaks to the level of programming in your life. If you have negative people in your life, learn to cut the cords, say goodbye. And I know the idea of kind of, you know, throwing away people, or implying that people are dispensable is horrible. But what I'm saying is that at some point you have to do self-analysis and reflect on who you really are, and what you're willing to take, and what you're willing to listen to, and what kind of life you really want to have. And recognizing these negative sources in your life is super important, because once you do that, you will see how much of an impact their words, their behavior, has affected your own personal psyche. Dispensing with a lot of that negativity coming from certain people really is going to shift your life, because that creates space for other types of people, like an influx of positivity, an influx of people whose vibration is similar to your own. It allows that now. It ushers in some new energy for you. And you don't need to feel so much guilt when you begin to detox certain people. I know that feeling personally, and I struggle with it because I don't like the idea of having people in my life that I, or defining people as being, you know, dispensable in my life. However, I also note that, you know, with certain people and the type of language that they use, and the fact that when I'm around them, there's a lot of negative experiences to be had, unfortunately, that's not the type of life I envision for myself. Therefore, it's more about self-love and self-respect and not about guilt. If you can identify other negative sources in your life and get rid of those, it'd be super helpful. So for example, if you have a lot of social media that is negative, and when I say that, that's not very grounded in reality. Things made, I would say, media that is not in alignment with who you are. Get rid of all the negativity, even with TV. All the negative news, all the negative bashing, all the negative, reality TV, that's what I really wanted to say. Get rid of that type of energy, and you will see again the energy in your life will shift. Negative music. Also, I remember many years ago that my guide warned me one day. I can't remember what we were talking about, but he said, you know, it's not just the people in your life that need to be cut out like a bad tumor. He said it is also negative music. When you listen to that, it actually does affect your own vibration, and it affects, you know, the type of energy in your space and your ability to do certain things. It actually does have a really profound impact. So again, filter out negative types of media, music, people, etc. And again, this is, I would say, for your own mental health, your spiritual health, emotional health. It is not about accusing other people in your life of being horrible. It is just that your energy is no longer compatible with theirs. Okay. I also wanted to say, in overcoming negative thoughts, you need to confront them as soon as possible. This is super important because you want to try to prevent your negative thoughts from growing inside your mind. I think, again, some of us will sit down and ruminate on the day, on what went wrong, how did this happen, what did I say, I wish I didn't say that, my God, I made this mistake, I never make these mistakes, or I made the same mistake again, and you just let it fester for sometimes days on end. And you have to remember, whatever you focus on expands. And that's the last thing that you need in your life, is to have that experience over and over and over again, because you can't stop thinking about it. It's important, again, to sit down and ask yourself, well, what's really triggering this? Why am I having such a strong response to this? So try to refrain from, again, turning, you know, molehills of negativity into mountains of negativity for yourself. It is okay to question your own thoughts. Not every thought is a good thought. Not every thought that you have is going to be uplifting and helpful. And again, this comes from mostly your programming. Not always, though, because again, there are just some really crappy people in life who say really crappy things because they feel threatened by you. That also happens all the time. But you can't worry about what other people think about you. As long as you are alive on this planet, you will always be judged by someone. That is the reality of living here. You need to also release your negative thoughts and talk about them. So how does one really begin to release their negative thoughts? Well, if you keep your negative thoughts inside your mind, there's a big chance that they're going to continue to grow. Therefore, you have to let go of them. There has to be some sort of outlet for your thoughts, whether this is going to therapy, which, as I say, is probably highly recommended. However, the problem with that, I would say, to a certain extent, is that we may have a tendency to continue to focus and revisit the negativity for prolonged periods of time that actually can be detrimental to a certain extent. However, talking to a friend and getting them off your chest, talking to a therapist and really, you know, getting them off your chest, literally, because they become a burden, is helpful, and it's a way to release. So venting about your issues that you may have and unloading that burden that you feel is, I think, completely normal and a really great way to release a lot of the negative thoughts that you've been harboring. However, I would say, you know, once you've vented, stop venting about the same thing for weeks on end. It's at that point, once you get it off your chest, that you need to feel encouraged to search for feasible solutions or a feasible course of action. And I'm not sure what that course of action would be or what the solution is, because it depends on the problem and your own personal mentality and goals, etc. But I think the first step really is, you know, releasing them. Don't allow them to build up in the body, because I think also your negative emotions can cause illnesses. So therefore, you want to release them, but not in a way that is hurtful to anyone else. But speaking your truth is important. Living in the now is another way to overcome negative thinking. And what I mean is that when you're living in the now, you're not necessarily dwelling on the past, which means you're only focused on today and what you're doing today and what you can do today, and not sitting around reflecting on how you made that mistake. Oh God, I wish I, you know, would have done that. Having major regret and focusing on I should have, I could have, I would have, I didn't, etc. Those thoughts are they have such a negative impact on our mind, because it keeps us in the past and it prevents us from moving forward and seeking a new way of living. And when we get stuck in thoughts of the past, we continue to actually live in the past. And when we live in the past, and we know we can't change anything about the past, which is the worst part about it, right? We just think about the mistakes. Again, it keeps us there physically, and it keeps us there mentally. It's like you're mentally bound to that situation and emotionally bound to that situation. And it almost seems like there's no clear path forward for you. And we all have done this to some degree, some of us more than others, depending upon, you know, the emotional response to whatever happened in the past. However, accepting that what is done is done, and forgiving yourself and forgiving others is really a key to moving forward. You know, sometimes I think even for myself, when there are situations that all of a sudden I start thinking about out of the blue, things that happened 10 years ago where I'm still mad and holding on, I wish I would have said this, how could I have let that person talk to me that way, etc. Because there are moments that we're not proud of, or regrets for not doing something or speaking up or whatever. It's really hard, because when we go back there mentally, we do go back there emotionally, and you can start to feel the anger in your chest. It's very real. However, I would encourage you again to either get them off your chest by speaking to someone or even writing them down. But once you write it down, all those words that you wish you would have said, all those things you wish you would have done, get a bowl, get that paper, and light it on fire and say, I release you. The past is over. It can hurt me not. And try your best to move forward. And whenever, for some reason, that situation rears its ugly head again, the past, it's okay. Don't feel guilty, and don't feel as if you're not spiritually strong. It's just that we're human. But try to release it and move forward. We do our best and take the steps necessary so that we can move forward and make better decisions for ourselves. Okay, so again, what happens when you encounter a very negative person, a negative situation that pisses you off, and you didn't do anything, you know, it just happens out of the blue, or someone's jealous, or you encounter like a completely horrible driver who cuts you off and almost gets you into an accident, or some girl is cutting her eyes at you, or something to the degree that just sets you off, whatever your trigger point is, we all have something. How do you quickly release the negativity that is starting to build up? It's like a quick negative response that you have. You have to find a way to kind of expel that negative energy. And one of the best ways to do it, you guys, is through exercise. Exercise gives you endorphins, and they make you happier. So when you start to feel that level of anger or frustration, or even when you start to dwell on the past and feel negative about it, go work out or go for a walk outside, hit the gym. Kickboxing is great. It helps you to release a lot of pent-up anger and frustration. You just need to make an effort to exercise. Okay. The last thing I think I'm going to say about your negative thoughts, don't let them get the best of you, and don't let your mistakes get the best of you. Again, I think this is very challenging for most of us, primarily because we've made a lot of mistakes up till now, and we will continue to do so. That is life. However, once we can kind of move into the stage of acceptance, like, well, nobody's perfect, and we're all prone to make a mistake here and there, then hopefully that contributes to your better positive well-being. I think there's one more thing I actually wanted to say about overcoming negative thoughts. One of the best ways to help you kind of get over that negative hump is to help other people in their lives. This can manifest in any kind of way you want, whether it's volunteering somewhere, whether it's just being an ear for a friend, helping someone gain positivity themselves, lifting them up. This is such a great way to kind of get out of that victim mentality, to kind of get out of the anger, to kind of get out of that mode of negative thinking, is to really, you know, redirect your focus onto someone else and help lift them up, because you'll see that it actually helps you to feel better. But also you'll see that everybody is kind of struggling with very similar issues, and that you're not alone and the world is not against you. That we all have very similar problems, just manifested in different ways. And after helping someone, don't forget to practice gratitude. I think that gratitude, again, is another awesome tool in the kit to help us overcome negativity. Sitting down and looking at what you have already accomplished and looking at what you already have is a great way for you to kind of readjust your focus from negativity to positivity. You can look at the little things that you already have and be grateful for those. And practicing gratitude, I would say, enables you to open yourself up for even more blessings. A lot of people get caught up in the day-to-day of their life, which is totally normal. We all do this, and we forget to appreciate the wonderful things that we have around us. So try to, on a daily basis, just give out a shout out to the universe to say thank you for even having the basics in life: food, shelter, security. Most of us, well, there are a lot of people on the planet who do not have that. So realizing what you already have, I think, can kind of help you shift your thinking and hopefully get you on the, I would say, track to more optimistic thinking. Okay, so I wanted to, before I talk about, you know, some habits to make you more positive, let's talk about negative self-talk. And I posted this on, I believe, Instagram and Twitter. I'm looking today at Shad Helmstetter's book called Negative Self-Talk and How to Change It. It's a 60-minute book. It took me 3 days to read that. Ha ha ha. However, I was going slow because I was really trying to absorb a lot of the messages in this book, because even though it is a relatively small book, there's a lot of information in this book. So really the purpose of, I would say, this entire book is to give everybody just the basics about negative self-talk and some ways to help you change the negative dialogue that you have in your head. So there's some key points that he states at the beginning that I think are really important to realize about negative self-talk and why you may actually just be that way. So from the beginning, he says that all of us were programmed from birth on, and we are currently living out the programs that we received, and we're going to touch on these. He also says from the moment that you were born, everything that you've heard, everything that you've thought and everything that you've said out loud to yourself was temporarily recorded in your brain. The messages you received that were repeated frequently were physically and chemically wired into your brain, which I think is super important. So in his book, he refers to those repeated messages as programs. The more often those programs are repeated, the stronger they were wired into your brain. It is estimated that during your first 18 years of your life, and this is if you grew up in a reasonably positive home, as much as 77% of the programs you received were negative. Whatever those programs were when you were growing up, many of them are still with you today. That's really important information. It's kind of sad, actually. The part of the brain that stores the programs you receive doesn't know the difference between something that is true and something that is false. The brain is designed to act on the strongest programs it receives as though they are true, whether they're true or not. As much as 90% or more of your programs are unconscious and are completely hidden from you. Another really fun and scary fact. Along with your genes and your experiences, you are the result of the programs you received. Everything you believe, everything you think, everything you say, and everything you do is the result of the programs you received, both from others and from yourself. Your self-talk today, right now, is a replay of the programs you have that are the strongest. Negative self-talk is the combined result of the negative programs you received from others and those that you gave to yourself. And again, most of these are unconscious. If you have programs that are negative and working against you, you can change them. You can rewire them, replace them with different, more positive, and more successful programs. So those are some of the key points that he touches on in this book, which I think when you just hear that piece of information in itself, or those points, it's kind of scary to think that 77% of the messages you received growing up in a positive household were negative. So again, most of us have been trained to think in that way. So let's talk a little bit more about negative self-talk. It's everywhere. And it's almost kind of like it's an epidemic. You know, I'm sure if you are prone to negative thinking, kind of take a look at your circle and look at what your friends say. Look at their automatic responses. Do they have a tendency to look at things in a more negative light? Do they use language that speaks to the fact that they never will believe that they'll be successful? Do they focus more on their failures? This is really important because remember, we attract who we are, truthfully. And when you kind of look at your circle, you might start to question, well, what the hell am I? Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about negative self-talk. So he says that negative self-talk is anything you think or say that looks at something from a perspective of what will not work instead of what can work. Negative self-talk is anything you think or say that over-focuses on your fears instead of on your strengths. Anything you think or say about yourself that repeatedly focuses on your faults or your flaws instead of the positive qualities is negative self-talk. It is also anything you think or say that causes you to see your world as filled with problems instead of opportunities and positive choices. It is anything you think or say that limits you from being or achieving anything that is real and that is possible. And it is anything you think or say that limits your belief in yourself or your future. So, what does negative self-talk sound like? I am going to just give you guys a few of the quotes that he put in the book that if you are a negative self-talker, you will find that you say these words quite often. Number one, and there's plenty of these. I feel like the whole book could be filled with these. Number one, nothing ever goes right for me. Does that ring a bell? I just know it's not gonna work. Why should I even try? I'm so stupid. I can't handle this. I don't have the talent. I'm just not creative. I feel like I have heard that one many a times. I'm no good at math. I think there's a legitimate point to that one, though. I don't know if that's a negative self-talk. Life sucks. I can never get ahead. I hear that one all the time, too. That's easy for you to say. I already know I won't like it. I just don't have the patience for that. I never have enough time. It's just no use. I never win anything. Nobody likes me. There's just no way. I never get a break. And the best one, of course, is that's impossible. I think we all know that. We have to remember that every time you're repeating phrases like that, you are literally wiring your brain to believe that what you're saying is true about yourself. And if you've been saying this stuff since you were a kid, just think about the fact that it's going to be kind of challenging to try to turn that off and do a complete rewiring of the brain, but not impossible. Okay, so just remember that your negative self-talk, it really sets you up to fail. It's almost always self-defeating. It sets you up for failure. It anticipates failure. It expects failure like it's a sure thing. So again, when you practice negative self-talk, even when you don't know you're doing it, you're literally wiring your brain to fail. And your brain will do just what it is wired to do. We have to remember also that negative self-talk is very harmful. Some people think it's harmless, that words don't have an impact. And a lot of people think that, but it's totally not true. Again, when you say those words, when you think them, your self-talk is literally being recorded into your own brain. And the worst part is that your negative self-talk, it's a habit. You were born to think this way, and therefore your outlook is going to be very, very negative. So now I wanted to talk to you about the three levels of negative self-talk disorder that he has kind of outlined in this book. And there's like three levels in terms of how much of a negative self-talker are you? What stage are you currently at? And I think it's very enlightening to kind of go back and look at this to gauge, you know, the level of negativity that has shaped your outlook. And look at the language that you speak every single day. Monitor the words that come out of your mouth, and I'll touch on that in just a minute. So let's talk about the first level of what he calls negative self-talk disorder. The first level is called the beginner. And this is the person who is just beginning to wire his or her brain with more negative than positive. The problem may start with a single bad experience, or it might be the result of a series of difficult life circumstances. It may even be the result of repeated negative programming from others. The result is a loss of belief in a positive outcome. So let's identify some of the key symptoms if you are a level one negative thinker. This person expresses frequent doubt. They often feel depressed for no apparent reason. They worry a lot. They begin to feel a lack of control of life just in general. They expect bad things to happen, maybe unrealistically. They begin to complain more often. They become self-critical and critical of others. And they show signs of beginning to focus on the negative. They begin to lose trust in things working out right. Those are some key symptoms if you kind of fall into the level one category. And this is called the beginner. Level two is called The Practicing Downer, which kind of sounds funny, but I think we all know just by hearing the word downer, I think we all have some of those people in our lives. So this level two is the person who has practiced negative self-talk long enough for it to become that person's default way of looking at life. This person begins to miss life's opportunities by assuming the role of victim. They see the world as being unfair, to themselves in particular, and they are beginning to give up on anything wonderful or positive. So let's look at some of the key symptoms if you are the level two practicing downer. This person is quick to point out what won't work. They are often argumentative. They stop being an active listener. They often begin the day with the feeling of fatigue or even of dread. They create a cycle of self-induced depression. They begin to be more focused on the self than on others. They may start to withdraw from social engagements. They often see problems as bigger than they are. They are increasingly unable to see positive alternatives. They are hypercritical of others. They become very angry at outcomes. They are seldom fun or uplifting to be around. They frequently show signs of doubting the future. They increasingly feel a lack of control, and they often feel hopeless or discouraged. So that is the level two negative self-talk disorder. Let's move on to the level three. I like the title of the level three category. It is called the graduate negatroid. So this is the person who is negative about almost everything. This person has usually experienced long-term negative programming, often from childhood. They don't just have an occasional bad day. The level three person doesn't know what a good day looks like. The level three person does not live a happy and fulfilled life. Theirs is a life that is simply, it's just not working. They have a negative attitude and belief system. It surrounds almost everything the person thinks or even believes. I think I know some of these people, unfortunately. Maybe I need to take a look at myself. So here are some of the key symptoms of the level three person. They daily see life from a negative point of view. They have lost trust in himself or herself and in others. They are seldom truly happy, and they almost never smile, and they almost never laugh, or at least not in a genuinely happy way. They're often selfish and ignore the needs of others. They live with a daily attitude of criticism and doubt. They believe positive thinking is wishful thinking, and they criticize other people for being positive. They believe that negative thinking is the realistic way to think, and I need to circle that because I want to come back and talk about that. They replace hope with the acceptance of despair. They replace action with frustration and anger. Again, they are never fun or uplifting to be around. They adopt a fatalistic, view of life. They accept failure as a natural outcome. And they usually end up in an unhappy life that fails. So because negative self-talk disorder is a progressive disorder, it usually starts gradually, and unless it's dealt with, and I would even say reversed, it progresses to more and more healthy unhealthy programs, until those programs added together become a way of life. And it's almost a little bit depressing to kind of talk about this, because most of us, or some of us, have, you know, grown up in a very, very challenging household where your parents are extremely freaking negative, thus creating, you know, your own personal negative outlook. And again, my goal isn't to accuse you of, you know, having a negative reality because you're such a negative thinker and you're doing it wrong. That's not my goal. My goal is to help you try to identify, well, why is this? Identify your patterns, because most of us just want a better life. We want to have joy and happiness in our life. We want to have great experiences, and we want to be surrounded by people who are positive and uplifting. However, again, if your brain has been wired to automatically respond to challenges, obstacles, people, situations, you know, in a very unhealthy, negative way, then it's really hard to have the type of life that you would actually really want to have, because your mind is going to keep you at the life that you don't want. Okay. There's something else I wanted to talk about that he discusses in his book, and it's about your subconscious mind. So he says that your subconscious mind makes most of your choices for you without you being aware of it. I think this is a really important part in the book. And if you purchase this book, it's on page 38. And this is kind of scary, because as much as 90% or more of your mental programs are hidden from you, they are buried in your subconscious mind. It is safe to say that you have virtually tens of thousands of programs that are directing your life right now, and you are not actually aware of what most of those programs are. So your thoughts, thousands of them each day, are controlled by the programs you have spent years storing in your subconscious mind. I don't think I liked reading that, but in a way, it's very enlightening to know that, again, we are operating just based off of habit, just habitual thinking. So let's kind of, I don't know if we have a lot of time to talk about that more, but I do encourage you to get the book. It's called Negative Self-Talk and How to Change It. Again, the 60-minute version for those who are really, really busy. So now I wanted to kind of talk about ways to change your self-talk from negative to positive. So one of the first ways is really to monitor your self-talk. And I would say, to get it started, monitor your self-talk over the next 30 days and listen to everything that you think and everything that you say. What is the first thing you usually say to greet someone during the day? What goes through your mind when the traffic light turns red? What goes through your mind when someone disagrees with you? What is the last thing you think before you go to bed at night? Start monitoring your response to things. Start monitoring the first response that comes out of your mouth without even really, quote unquote, thinking. And then after you've monitored yourself, and it might be kind of good to record yourself or to write it down, to take note after a good, 30 days, then try to catch yourself when you're saying or thinking anything that is harmfully negative. And then what you need to do is stop and restate it in the positive. And I know some of you are probably really rolling your eyes. I think I did too when I was reading this, like, oh God, this is like my third job. But whenever you catch yourself saying any of those negative phrases that I stated earlier, try to rephrase it for yourself. And start to train yourself and tell yourself, no, I'm not going to think that way today. And just repeat it in the positive. And I know it sounds a little ridiculous at the start, but it's really important if you want to have a more positive outlook in your life. So I would say, when you edit your self-talk, you're not really lying to yourself by replacing the negative thought with a positive. What you're doing is rewiring your brain with an accurate picture of how you choose to be. And this is the new picture of yourself that you're now creating. You're not really kidding yourself. He says what you're doing is setting the record straight. I think that's super powerful and it's super true. Okay. Also, in terms of positive self-talk, one of the key things, which is really a key to a good portion of his book, in order to see changes in your life and in order to really change the way you're speaking to yourself from negative to positive, repetition is the key. So when you listen to positive self-talk about 10 to 15 minutes each day, you'll be giving clear, positive new messages to your brain. Because of the daily repetition, your brain will begin to override and replace the older negative self-talk programs, which have been dominant for some time. You can expect to see I would say, early positive changes in your attitude and motivation in the first days of kind of, you know, repeating some positive self-talk. However, he says in his book that it typically takes about 3 weeks or more for the brain to begin to rewire itself with new repeated programs. So set a goal and stay with it. As you begin learning and practicing your new self-talk, you will also begin to wire in the habit of changing your programs naturally, both consciously and unconsciously. This is going to be the turning point that you're looking for. Because you're hearing and practicing self-talk each day, the new self-talk will become the new language you think in and speak in naturally. It is that new language, a new way of dealing with life, that will begin to inform every future choice that you make. Super important. So repetition is definitely key. Obviously, I think that's the key to most things in life. I mean, that's how we learn, by practicing, you know, a certain thing over and over and over. So with the last part of his book, and I just kind of wanted to close out talking about a few of these things. I know this is a huge topic that I've tried to reduce into an hour, so I'm sure I've missed a lot of key points, but I've done my best to kind of cover some of the big points that he makes in his book that I thought would be the most helpful. So the very last part of his book, he kind of brings up questions that he's been asked about, you know, programming positive self-talk. So one of the questions that he tries to address is, can anyone change their self-talk? So if you want to change your self-talk, you really can. The reason people achieve reliable success with this is that the brain is designed to rewire itself. So if you learn how to rewire your brain in the right way, your brain has no choice. It will do what it is designed to do. Remember that. It will do what it is designed to do. The key is to make your brain's natural programming process work for you instead of against you. Some other questions that he has been asked: how long does it take to change your self-talk if you're actively working on it? So as he kind of stated earlier in his book, it takes a minimum of 3 to 4 weeks of repetition for the new self-talk to start actually becoming wired in. However, you'll notice differences in your self-talk and in your thinking even while this is happening. So then by staying with it, your new self-talk will continue to get stronger and stronger until thinking in the new self-talk becomes a fully wired in habit, which I think is super important. I mean, we live in a society right now where we expect the turnaround to be like one day. However, with anything else, it takes constant persistence to kind of get rid of your old programs. One thing to remember is that procrastination, fear, doubt, disbelief, and denial are really the tools of self-sabotage that keep us from doing what we know we should do. And all of these, unfortunately, are also programs. So don't stop. If you are trying to reprogram your mind and you're going to try to reprogram it or rewire it with self-talk, you have to actually really stick with it for what sounds like to me several months to actually see an effective change, so that you're no longer expecting a negative outcome. So that your first automatic response is that everything is going to work out. The last thing I kind of wanted to go over was some of the habits that will help you become just a more positive person in general, since we talked about negativity earlier. So one of the first things that you can do to kind of become a more positive person, which is important by the way, try to expect your plans are going to actually work out. Yes, we have setbacks in life. Yes, we fail. However, during times of struggle, you need to remain strong and persistent when you're trying to achieve a goal. Even when things, you know, look like they're not going to work out, even when everyone tells you no, that it's impossible, you need to remain positive and see beyond what everybody else is seeing. You need to have a new set of eyes and expect that your plans will work out. The reason you might be hitting, a setback or failure is because the plan needs to change a little bit. And that change will make it even better and even more successful. Another thing, as we already kind of spoke about, don't dwell on your failure. We all fail, even the most successful people. But determination is key. When you fail, don't stay on the ground. Pick yourself back up immediately. However, if you're finding yourself, failing constantly, you can take a break to analyze your strategies. Perhaps you can do something differently so that you can get a different result. You can rest for a while, but you shouldn't stop. And I would say that this is what a lot of proactive, positive people do. They recognize the time when they need to slow down and recharge, but they never permanently stop. Another habit of or becoming a more positive person, kind of keep yourself busy. And I know what I always read, like in a lot of New Age material, is, take time, rest, go within, which is all important, but also don't become lazy. When you read certain books about manifestation, all they tell you to do is to visualize, but they don't focus on the active aspect of life. Like you actually have to do to create, right? So yes, take time, but I would say people who are positive and successful, they don't become idle. They're very productive people. So keep yourself busy and don't allow negative people to influence you to becoming lazy, unproductive, and ineffective. If you want to see change in your life, you also have to start with yourself. So be the change. I would say most positive people don't wait for the change to happen, quote unquote. They try to create the change that they want to see and become. They don't necessarily, I would say, sit around and wait. They take action. They think usually of what they want, they recognize it, and then they act towards it. Something that we've already talked about is letting go of your past. Most positive people, for the most part, don't sit around replaying their past events over and over and over in their minds because it is a waste of valuable time and energy. Most positive people know how to let go, and they let go of whatever hinders their growth and their potential. They set themselves free from the past so that they can enjoy the present and prepare for the future. They fill their minds with great future possibilities instead of painful past memories. They also focus again on the present moment so that they can detach from negative thoughts. And one of the last things, or a couple of last things that I'm going to say is that becoming a positive person requires that you become a solution-focused person. People who are successful and positive focus on coming up with solutions. They don't focus necessarily on the problem, and they don't sit around just waiting for a solution to kind of just fall out of the sky. They kind of concentrate on the things that they can do instead of the things that they cannot do. They remain confident that they will come up with a good and fitting solution or finding people to help them, right? It's that outlook, again, that's super important. I would also say the last thing about becoming a positive person is, and this is a touchy subject, so I don't want to dive too much in it because I feel like I would rather have a professional kind of come in and talk about this a little bit, but I would say that most positive people don't indulge in thoughts of victimhood. And if you've been listening to this podcast, I've told this story before on this podcast and I'll kind of tell it again. About 5 years ago, I was in my room upset about a situation that I can't even remember now if it was in my control or not in my control, but I was crying about it, very mad, but really crying. And in the middle of my crying, I heard one of my spirit guides, it's almost like I could see him roll his eyes. And then he said, he pretty much told me to stop playing the victim. And he said, victimhood does not suit you. And I've never forgotten that, because there was something about me that he knew and that he saw that I couldn't see, or that I didn't have the deep awareness of at the time. And even though it really pissed me off at the time, because I wanted to have the freedom to express my negative emotions, I understood what he was saying. Like, don't dwell on this too much, and don't be angry at yourself for making a mistake. But the dwelling is the worst part, because once you begin to dwell on the negativity and the mistakes, it spirals out of control. So anyway, try not to indulge in thoughts of being the victim, that the world is against you, that things are never going to go right, that you'll never be successful, that woe is me, that you're totally inept to do anything for yourself. And instead, re-envision yourself and what you can do. You're here for a reason, to make the change, to be the change that you really do want to see for the world and for yourself. We're all empowered with, I would say, special abilities, if you will, to create something marvelous in this world that will help a lot of people exponentially. So take charge and have respect for yourself. All right, everybody. I feel like I'm gonna stop preaching during this podcast. And I hope you guys have really enjoyed the talk today. I have posted, and I'm going to post the description, or in the description section of the podcast, the name of the two books that I read on this topic. One is Positive Thinking, and the other one is Negative Self-Talk and How to Change It. And I feel like if you are one of those people who identifies with being one of the levels, the level one, two, or three negative thinker, pick up this book and start trying to, change the way you think, you speak to yourself, and see the world. Thank you all for listening today. I really appreciate it, and have a wonderful week.